Hello again. I am on page 22 and the title of this page is lipids, and I'd like to talk about three different types of lipids. And this is also the title of the box on the left. Okay, so first of all, there are the so-called the triglycerides, the phospholipids, and the steroids. And I'm going to now explain to you a little bit the structural formulas of these. Okay, triglycerides and phospholipids have one thing in common. Both of them have glycerol and fatty acids connected to them. So that's basically the thing that many of the lipids have in common, glycerol and fatty acids. Now, how does glycerol look like? Further down, you see a picture of a glycerol, and you see that glycerol has three carbons, and each carbon has an OH group attached to it, okay? And the glycerol, you can also see in the triglyceride, further down in the drawing, and you see that it's in the kind of in the middle, and then there are these long zigzaggy lines connected to this glycerol. And these long zigzaggy lines, these are the fatty acids, and you can see that there are three of these fatty acids connected to one glycerol. And these zigzaggy lines here, every corner of this line represents a carbon atom. So it's a simplified way of drawing it. And you can see that these lines also have sometimes double bonds in them. That's basically also indicated in the drawing over here. Okay, so the next one is a phospholipid. Okay, and that's the second drawing from the bottom. It says phospholipid, and phospholipids also have fatty acids connected to them. Okay, and in this case, they have two fatty acids connected to them, and you can see that they're extending to the left. Okay, and instead of the third fatty acid, phospholipids have a so-called phosphate group. And this phosphate group can be now seen on the right there. And you can also see that the phosphate group has negatively charged oxygens. So it is very polar. And this also makes this part very hydrophilic and water-soluble, while the fatty acid tails, which extend to the other direction, they are very hydrophobic and water-fearing. Okay, so to summarize, triglycerides and phospholipids have both glycerol, they have fatty acids. However, they differ in the fact that triglycerides have three fatty acids, that's why they're called triglycerides, and phospholipids only have two fatty acids. Side information, the fatty acids are connected to the OH group of the glycerol, and for every fatty acid that you connect, you're producing one molecule of water. So when you make a triglyceride, you're making three molecules of water, and when you make a phospholipid, for each of the fatty acids, you're also making a molecule of water. Okay. So, and the next one, side information, if you attach the phosphate group, you're also actually making a molecule of water, but that's not important for right now. Okay. So the third type of lipid are steroids. And steroids, if you look at the very bottom, testosterone being an example here, it looks quite different. There are four rings here, okay? And these four rings have a carbon in the corner, and they make the steroids also very hydrophobic and give it very much lipid properties. Cholesterol, by the way, is very similar. Okay, the testosterone, steroids, and cholesterol, you can imagine they kind of belong into the same group. Yeah, and cholesterol, if you remember, can be found in the membrane specifically of animal cells. Okay, so but let's move back to the triglycerides and the phospholipids, and let's have a look at the fatty acids. Top right box, drawing of fatty acids. And let's have a more detailed look at the drawing of the fatty acid. And you see that the fatty acid at the top has a COOH group. That's the carboxylic acid group. And that's why fatty acids are called acids. And connected to that, you have a long chain of carbons. A long chain of carbons. That's the zigzaggy line in the other drawing. And each carbon has, in this case, two hydrogens attached. And so what we can say is that there are CH2 groups connected. CH2, CH2, CH2. And all the way down. But the last one has three hydrogens. CH3, because that's already at the end of the chain. So at the very bottom, we have a carbon with three hydrogens attached. Okay. And what we're now doing is there's a simpler way of actually drawing this. And what we're saying is that we have CH2, and we're repeating this CH2 n times, okay? And at the very end, we have a CH3. I'll be very honest that the formula that they're giving you over here is actually, I don't like it. It says here, over here in the box on the left, CH2, then line, open parenthesis, CH2, close parenthesis, N, then CH3. I don't know if you can see that, right? Strictly speaking, this is not the generalized formula of a fatty acid because they forgot about the COOH group. Okay, so it's actually COOH on one side, then you have open the parenthesis, CH2, close parenthesis, N, CH3. Yeah? I don't know, at the very beginning they have written CH2. I don't know, the CH2 is already included in the parenthesis actually, so I don't understand why they're actually drawing it like that. It's strictly speaking, it is wrong. Okay. This is a so-called saturated fatty acid. The drawing here, the reason why it's called saturated is because there are only single bonds between the carbons and there's the maximum number of hydrogens. So the fatty acid chain is saturated with hydrogens. Okay, and however, there are also so-called unsaturated fatty acids, and that's what I would like to talk about next. That's the next box, is called types of fatty acids. And you can already see saturated and unsaturated. So the one on the top that's in the box with the long chain, that's a saturated one. And they're also unsaturated. And you can now see that there is an example of an unsaturated fatty acid. And this unsaturated fatty acid has a double bond in them. Okay, it has a double bond in them. And therefore, two hydrogens are missing for each double bond. And so there are two hydrogens less than could be. And this makes it unsaturated. So, and if you look now again to the left, where you have the drawing of the triglyceride, okay, the one that I explained before, and let's look at the very left fatty acid chain, the one that extends to the left and kind of goes around in a circle, okay, in the triglyceride, you see that it had there one, two, three double bonds in there. Okay, so this is an unsaturated fatty acid because the double bonds are indicated by double lines. Okay, and these double lines are double bonds, and so it's unsaturated. Then the two fatty acids that extend to the right, that kind of fold backwards, the top one of the two does not contain any double bonds between the carbons, and so it is a saturated fatty acid. And the bottom one, I see on the far right, I see a double bond, one double bond, and that is also an unsaturated fatty acid because it contains this double bond, okay? So for every double bond that you find, you basically have two hydrogens less. And when with the unsaturated ones, we have the monounsaturated, that only has only one double bond, and the polyunsaturated has two or more double bonds. That's kind of obvious, I would say, right? So the one drawn over here, it says here unsaturated fatty acid, naturally occurring ones have more carbon atoms, of course, actually are much longer, but it is it's a monounsaturated fatty acid. Now if you have a double bond in them, the position of the hydrogens can, there are now two different possibilities. Either the hydrogens are on one side or the hydrogens are on opposite side. And if they're on one side, we call this a cis fatty acid. And if they're on opposite sides, we call this a trans fatty acid. Okay? So that is, cis and trans. That's kind of important because the trans fatty acids are not really healthy. Okay? They're, I'm going to talk about that. They're not really good. And for this reason, it's important to know the difference between cis and trans fatty acids. So I almost wanted to say, do you have any questions? I don't know. Of course... if you have questions, if you hear this for the first time, of course, it can be a little bit a lot of information here, especially with all the formulas. But my advice is Google something, pictures of fatty acids, or watch YouTube videos. It's much easier than for you to imagine all of these things. Okay, so let's move on to page 23, lipids and health. Okay, lipids and health, energy storage. So first of all, why do mammals or humans? Why do we? What do we actually use to store energy? Well, the liver stores carbohydrates in the form of glycogen. That's not a fat, that's not a lipid. And we also have fat droplets or lipids, okay? And the glycogen is stored only for a short-term use, so during the day. But fat droplets in the so-called in the fat cells, in the adipose cells, they are there for long-term energy storage. And one of the reasons why we use fats for long-term energy storage. This is because per gram or per mass unit, they're about able to store twice as much energy than carbohydrates or proteins. So they're pretty. They have a very high energy density. Okay, so yeah, that's basically the reason. It's in that sense, it's a very efficient way of storing energy. Okay, and then when we are when we've used up the glycogen, the body will start to use the fat droplets. Okay. Body mass index is the next box over here, and what you now need is you need a ruler, and the body mass index can be calculated also with the formula BMI. The body mass index is mass, your mass in kilograms divided by your height in meters squared, and this kind of allows you statistically to evaluate whether you're underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese. And what you do is with a ruler is you you see these scales here on the right side. And at the top scale is labeled mass in kilogram, okay? And the right one is in height in centimeters. So you find your mass in kilograms and you draw a dot there and you connect it with your height in centimeters and you just draw a line from your mass to your height. And it will cross the body mass index scale in the middle. And this where it crosses the body mass index scale, this value you can read off, and that is your body mass index. Okay, so you connect your mass with your height with a straight line. It will cross the body mass index line, and this is your body mass index. So that's a direct way, and you can verify that by also typing in the thing into the formula. Okay, so of course we have the body mass index because if you're very tall, then you're allowed to be heavier, of course, because tall people are naturally heavier. Does not automatically mean that people who are tall are automatically overweight. You know, they weigh more, they have a higher mass, but that's okay because they're bigger, right? So, next box, health risks of trans fats and saturated fatty acids, okay? The so-called trans fatty acids or trans fats, they are mostly artificially produced, okay? And what they found out in animal experiments is that the more of these trans fats that the rats, you fed them to rats, that they take in, the higher the chance of coronary heart disease or CHD, so heart problems, okay? So they're not good. So that's why many countries have laws concerning the amount of trans fats in them, okay? And saturated fatty acids, they do occur naturally and also in vegetable oils, okay? And they have in the past also found out that too many saturated fatty acids are also a problem. Okay, but they also found out that some people who are eating a lot of saturated fatty acids or fats are healthy. So it didn't always fit. Okay, and I remember quite well that a long time ago they said, well, the so-called saturated fatty acids are really bad because we're eating too many of these, and then you have to eat the unsaturated fatty acids. Okay. But the problem is with the unsaturated fatty acids, some of them are really bad, the so-called the trans fats. Okay, so it's quite complicated, and that's why over the years there's more research being done concerning this. Okay, and it says your evaluation of evidence is an important process. Okay, because what we have is you gotta be you understand there's something called correlation, and simply because two things happen at the same time does not automatically mean that they're connected. Okay, just because two people who eat a lot of saturated fats does not automatically mean, and if they become ill, does not automatically mean that this is due to a high intake of saturated fatty acids, because there are certain exceptions as well. Yeah. So that is the idea here in this box is that you have to have a large sample size, and you shouldn't jump to too early conclusions, obviously. But there is now seems to be pretty solid evidence also with animal experiments that those trans fats, which are mostly artificial, are indeed bad. Okay. Because there are some people, cultures around, ethnic groups around who eat a lot of these saturated fatty acids. They're just fine. Okay. But the trans fats, they apparently are not so good. Okay, so that was lipids. Okay, so this was page 22 and page 23. It goes on with proteins, but I'm going to leave this to a different audio file. Okay, I wish you a nice day.